You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, Steve, it's not too long since you're down here in New Zealand for, I guess, a winter tour of New Zealand. We played six shows. I just thought it might be quite nice to touch on some of the highlights from your most recent New Zealand tour.
Well, you were there for the most extreme highlight.
Do you know what, Steve? I'm actually really curious to hear your version of that story, like how you would tell it to other people.
Okay. Well, first of all, one highlight was playing shows with the Chills. That was a separate highlight. And hanging with Martin and the band, I think that was pretty great. I've been a fan of the Chills for a super long time. And so also to kind of play with them in their hometown was pretty incredible. Seeing all those older fans kind of pogo around and sing the songs, I thought was quite nice. And also the band, just a bunch of like super sweet guys, and it was just a fun to hang out with them and see them play. And really the big highlight was when you were with me when we were in Whangarei.
Yeah, Whangarei. Yep.
Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, pretty close enough.
Okay. Whangarei. And a fan approached the merch table and said that he was a pilot and said that he wanted to take me up on a flight. And I wasn't entirely sure what that meant, but I was sort of interested and very curious. And I also wanted to ask you guys what you thought. I felt slightly scared as well. And we kept talking. We realized that he lived pretty close by and managed a bunch of little planes and seemed like an accomplished pilot. We didn't know him all that well. And he basically asked us what we were doing the following day after the show. And we had some time. We drove out to this little tiny airport, little private landing strip, about 20 minutes from our hotel. And he was there. He wasn't sure if we were actually going to show up, but we were there. And there was about seven little planes kind of just scattered about, some in like a hangar and some outside. And we just started chit-chatting. And he basically was like, you know, I want to take you out in this plane, which when he said that, my stomach just dropped.
How would you describe it? It's the tiny, like, little stunt plane, open cockpit with a huge nose on it because it just had this giant engine for doing tricks.
Yeah. When you were young, have you ever, like, been in a go-kart?
Yes.
Just like a little. It kind of looked like that with wings.
Yeah.
Like an adult version of a go-kart with wings.
With hundreds of horsepower.
Yeah. And one of the craziest things about it was that I sat in the front and the pilot was behind me. So and there's no windows really. You're just kind of out in the open. And I at first I said no, like it was a hard no at first. And then something came over me and I said, like, let's just do it. Like, let's do it. And I got strapped in from my shoulders and around my waist. And he told me to hold on to the bar, and I held on, and we took off. And it was, my adrenaline kicked in, and it was probably the most beautiful thing like I had ever seen flying around there.
You flew all the way around the heads, and then did a bit of a lap, hot lap along a beach, flying at low altitude.
Yeah, he's like, let's go. Like, I'll show you the beach, and we flew maybe like, you know, 10 meters above the surface of the beach. It was crazy.
Yeah,
it was like a dream.
It was pretty hard to beat.
Nothing could really top that.
Yeah,
and then you went up too.
Yeah, I got the stunt version of your experience.
Yeah,
yours was the no loop version. Mine was the like as many loops as possible.
Because he said he wanted to trick out so hard, but I was like, I was giving him a no. Like I was putting my thumb down, like no loops. I'm done. You got the loops.
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
Yeah, I just loved how he just flew straight up above the airport so he could show off to everyone, and then just came straight down with as many loops as he could fit in, and then landed. It was perfect.
I like that move where he just shut the engine off as well.
Yeah,
That felt like it was the most intense trick that you could possibly do.
Yeah, I did have a little bit of terror, but kept it together. Now, Steve, the reason I'm calling you, you do have a brand new record out, The Unseen In Between. I picked it up over the weekend from a record store. Tell me a little bit about it. What's the difference between The Unseen In Between and anything that you've done previously?
I think this one, I don't know, it was kind of a long time coming. It was almost as if I was sort of building up to this record, and I think that everything aligned itself really in a really good way with where I was as a musician. I had been, you know, when I came down to New Zealand, I was playing solo shows and I was singing and playing a lot, and I felt like I was a better singer and even just like songwriter, just from the past few years of just kind of being on the road and having crazy life experiences. I felt like I had some things to say, and I also gave myself some time to work on it a lot and, you know, see it through and not just like throw some things together like I've kind of done in the past and hope for the best. I did a lot of edits, I did a lot of demos, and I really felt lucky with getting the right band in the studio. I had this guy who plays bass with Bob Dylan, and that was kind of crazy because I'm a huge Dylan freak, and to be able to just talk to him about how he and his band works in the studio and how to put songs together. I think this was the first album that I really felt like I was thinking about songs instead of parts and keeping them all sort of separate. You know, this was all more about like keeping the song together and not sacrificing that. And I try to keep things more simple, and you know, I worked in this really great studio that I'd never been to, and it was everything just felt comfortable and natural, you know, that more than usual. And I think, you know, it sort of helped me make the album, you know.
Oh, are you hitting the road solo? Have you assembled another band to go out and tour the new record on?
Yeah, I've got a band, which is the first time in a while, but we got a full band. You know, we're going on the road at the end of the month, so we're kind of all getting ready.
So like a winter North American tour and or European?
Yeah, we're doing the North America, and then we're going to Europe in March. So we're doing all around the States, East Coast, West Coast, and then back to Europe in March.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're kind of keeping busy, and you know, hopefully I'll get down there again. I want to come. Can you get BFM to fly me down there?
Yeah, of course. What have we got next? Maybe our Christmas party, which I guess is probably closer to summer.
That sounds good.
Now, you've also slipped out a couple of other tunes for Aquarium Drunkard recently.
Oh yeah,
two covers. I really enjoyed the Smiths covers you put out a couple of years ago, but this time round you've covered The Misfits, and also it's escapes me. Who else did you cover?
Michael Chapman.
Tell me a little bit about your choice of covers and that particular session.
Yeah, I was out in LA not too long ago, and there's this amazing new studio out there that some friends of mine are kind of involved with. The Aquarium Drunkard people have been doing events and recording sessions there. And they asked me to pop in there one afternoon when I was there to just kind of bang out two acoustic songs. And it kind of was really last minute. So I was like, oh, no, what can I actually possibly do? I'm not a guy that kind of knows tons of songs, really. You of course, like kind of know my own, but it takes me a minute to learn other people's songs and stuff like that. So I had already been playing the Michael Chapman song a bit, and so I really like playing it solo, and I felt like it was kind of working. So I was like, oh, that one's easy, I'll just do that. And then I was really not sure which one to do, and then I was thinking about, you know, what would be kind of funny to do, like a punk song in the more kind of country blues style, you know, to sort of make it, trying to change the sort of feel of it. And you know, I grew up listening to Misfits, and I know most of those songs by heart, and I can kind of play all of them. So I was like, why don't I try to do this sort of bluesy, slowed down Misfit song? And I had been up all night the night before, and I was sort of just kind of in a haze and went in there and recorded those two songs. And I'm happy with the Misfits one. It's funny, I just thought it would be this kind of joke thing. But then listening back to the lyrics, it's kind of like really heavy, like a different, it gave it a whole different meaning. It was this kind of apocalyptic song, you know.
It's amazing how strangely true to the original it is.
Yeah, right. Like chord-wise, yeah. And also sort of like I really like how melodic those songs are, and I never really thought about it, why I like them so much, but, you know, Danzig actually was quite a good singer, and the songs are anthemic, and they're, like, kind of poppy, and they're kind of easy to listen to, and the lyrics are sort of this tongue-in-cheek, almost kind of like, you know, monsters and goblins kind of stuff. So that appealed to me at a young age. I didn't feel like they were overly satanic like, you know, other bands, so I didn't feel guilty. I just thought it was sort of fun. And, yeah, I don't know. That's cool that you recognize that it was similar. It wasn't completely out of context, you know.
Yeah. And the engineer that you work with, do you work with a special engineer on that? Or is it just the studio, which is sort of the main ingredient in that great experience?
Yeah. The studio is called Gold Diggers in LA, and it's this brand new place. And it's kind of incredible. They purchased this old film studio that used to do, you know, the old Ed Wood movies?
Rings of horror.
He made these movies in the 50s, kind of horror, kind of B horror movies. So that was his studio. And then after that, it was like these rehearsal spaces, and Hendrix and the Doors rehearsed there. And then later on, Guns N' Roses rehearsed in Slayer, and it has this crazy history. And these people bought this huge space, and they put in this incredible studio. And there's a really cool old bar, and also a hotel connected to it. It's kind of insane. And so I went there. I think I'm pretty much the first person to record there.
Oh wow!
Because they were still kind of building it, and I think they just finished. But there's this really good engineer, this guy Eric Gorman, who used to live in New York and work at tons of different studios. He's kind of managing the place and kind of putting it all together. And so since I just had my acoustic, it was, you know, we just kind of threw up a couple mics, but I think they're going to be doing some pretty kind of in-depth, complicated recording. But yeah, it was super fun and really easygoing. And, you know, I think it was a nice session for them to just kind of fire up some things and see if it worked. And, you know, I was out of there in a few hours.
Mint. Now, obviously, the new record is out, and you're playing the new record. But you seem to be so busy the whole time recording and releasing stuff. Have you recorded anything else in the meantime? Obviously, you've just done that. But are you working with anyone, or is there anything on the cards? Because I think last time we spoke, you're in Lisbon, and you'd worked with some people over there. Has any of that stuff come to light?
Not yet. Like, I'm going to go back there, and it was sort of the beginning of some sort of ideas and kind of musical relationships and, like, people that I know there. And there's a really wonderful venue there and kind of arts organization that invited me. And they're, you know, they do these sort of residencies, and I'm going to try to kind of pursue that in between album stuff. And, you know, I'll go back there at some point this year and kind of continue to work on some projects with like local Portuguese musicians. And then, you know, I have this kind of ongoing musical project with John Straczynski.
Yes.
And that's constantly sort of changing, and we always are coming up with ideas. And so we're going to try to get into the studio again this year and record another album at some point. I've been doing some producing. I produced a new Michael Chapman record, bringing him up again. That's coming out next month. And, you know, I've been sort of trying to kind of get a little more of that kind of work in between, playing gigs and traveling around.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.